Hi there, welcome to the Newy Tech People podcast. Today is another exciting day as I'm interviewing Jodie Stapleton, who is Head of Transformation at Newcastle Permanent Building Society. Hello, Jodie. Welcome to the Newy Tech People podcast. Thank you for being my second guest. Really good to see you today.
Thank you. I'm here to have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to be here today. Thanks. Yeah,
good. So I wanted to start by giving the audience, I guess, just a bit of background in terms of your career to date and your current role at Newcastle Permanent Building Society and how that's evolved over the last several years.
So I love working for Newcastle Permanent. It's a great organization and a really good hunter business, and they've done amazing things. And I think what they've been able to accomplish from a customer-owned banking perspective is really fantastic for the Hunter region. So there I head up the transformation program. So the transformation program is a team of fantastic delivery people. So mm-hmm. Your traditional project managers, business analysts, change leads.
Awesome. So if we take it back a few years, tell us how you came to start a career in data and technology.
So you can tell my accent. I'm Canadian. So I moved here in 2007. So my husband is a Novocastrian. So that's what brings me to Newcastle.
Yep.
So we met traveling and I've been working here ever since 2007. I took a small gap year in 2017 to go back and live in Canada again.
But where did you meet traveling? Where in the world was that?
In Australia.
Oh, okay.
It's a really funny story.
Tell us.
It was on a Contiki tour. It was a Contiki tour in Australia, and it ended in marriage. So yeah, that's pretty good.
Money well spent.
Yeah. So in Canada, my work experience was predominantly in financial services as well, but more on the investment banking and the insurance side. So a couple big Canadian names in the insurance industry, which is Sun Life Financial, Mackenzie Financial, which is an investment firm.
Mm-hmm.
So I cut my teeth right out of university working in those areas. I moved here in 2007, and Newcastle Permanent was my first real role, and I was really fortunate to have them sponsor me for my 457, so I could get a visa and I could work here and be a legitimate Australian.
Mm. And what role did you start at with Newcastle Permanent? Were you in the BI team at that stage?
Yeah, so I started as a business intelligence analyst, wowed them, and quickly made my way to a senior business intelligence analyst. And then I made it to the manager of business intelligence. And then I made it to the senior manager of business intelligence. So I gradually progressed my way through. But there's a theme there. I've been working in data and analytics for years.
Yeah. And I know you took a bit of a career break, which you just touched on before, to travel, take your family back to Canada for a bit of a gap year. So tell us about that.
Oh, that was, I remember before I took it, so us working women, that we're always very focused on our career and making our career one of our top priorities. And I was really nervous at the thought of not working for 12 months. And what is that going to do from a career point of view? Will I forget how to be a professional? And will I forget how to do my job? It was one of the best years of my whole entire life. And I still reflect back on it. And I think especially now with COVID and everything that's going on and the struggle for work-life balance that I think is a global issue right now, with blurring the lines between home and work, it really emphasized the value that we got out as a family of that year, as well as your own personal growth and spending time on yourself. And your career is a long, long thing, and it's a long journey, and taking time as you go through it is really important, I think, not just waiting for, I'll do these when I retire.
Absolutely, because, you know, if you waited for that opportunity, you wouldn't be able to go. We might not be able to go overseas and travel properly for another couple of years.
Yeah, I think that how lucky that we were to do it before a pandemic hit. So, yeah.
So you came back to Newcastle, and I know that you took a role as head of data and process at Heffron. So tell us about that experience, because I know that that was a fairly new area that you were setting up for them at the time.
So I used that opportunity to really learn. So Newcastle Permanent was fantastic. Mm. And I got a lot of bigger business experience through them, and a lot about governance and a regulated industry. Mm-hmm. Working for Heffron was my opportunity to really learn about agile ways of working, how a smaller company works, mm-hmm. how a founder-based company works. So, which is really interesting because the person who supports you every day is sitting next to you, and there's a direct impact to the productivity and what you are able to deliver for the business to what the founders are able to achieve for their customers and for their people. So yeah. That was... It took the world of business and took it away from being a faceless thing into being actually a community and about the people that are there and about what they deliver for their customers. So that was really rewarding experience. I learned a lot from working at Heffron and about the people and process as well as technology.
Yeah, great. And then you were enticed back to Newcastle Perm in your current capacity as head of transformation.
Yeah. So I got a call from the chief financial officer, Sean Hassel, and he was really excited about what Bernadette, our new CEO, when she came on in July, was going to do for the organization. And I saw a really good opportunity to use some of the skills that I had learned, as well as apply them at scale and support Bernadette in her vision.
Yeah, great. You've enjoyed a successful career in technology. What compelled you to start a career in technology?
This is kind of embarrassing because it's not really educated and insightful. Like, I wanted to use technology to make a world a better place. So there's a little known movie called Hackers. It stars Angelina Jolie, and it was released in 1995.
I remember that movie.
Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So I saw that movie. And I thought it was so cool that Angelina Jolie could use a computer and hack into.
Did you want to be Angelina?
And I wanted to be Angelina Jolie in that movie. And so I decided to change my major from international business to a hybrid. So I did a kind of a Bachelor of Commerce also. And I also did information systems. So half my courses were in business and half my courses were more computer science focused.
So the movie.
Because of a movie.
Wow. How did you get that one past your parents? How did you describe the logic around that?
Well, I had very hands-off parents.
Okay.
They really didn't care. I paid for my university. As long as I finished, that's all they were concerned about. So, I think it's a funny story. I still reflect back all because of movies.
And in terms of the higher education path that you took at that time, reflecting back, would you still have gone down that same path that you went down, or would you, you know, you did a double degree? Would there be sort of some other areas that you may have
explored?
Yeah.
I think I do have the luxury of, as soon as I walked out of university, I did exactly what I studied. Mm. So my university was really applicable. So where I found real joy and where I was excelling was in my database design and analytics courses and my ability to apply the business learnings that I was taking into a technology perspective. Mm. I really enjoyed coding. My first Visual Basic course was great. I really, really learned a lot from it. And as soon as I could get to the computer to write Hello World, I was hooked, saying, oh, wow, this is really cool that you can use, humans can interact with computers and enable them to do things and enable them to make business decisions and help businesses thrive. And so it was kind of the culmination of those two things within my school environment. So one thing I'll say is, higher education is really important, and you should do it. It's a gate opener now. You have to do it, and the way that the world is working. But doing an internship or having work experience is also equally important. So I
believe so as well. Yeah. I strongly believe that.
I think see that in a lot of your candidates you're getting through.
Yeah, you can tell the difference between people that have had some real life exposure to, you know, the ones that have just sort of stayed on at university and not tried to, you know, get some experience in their vocation of choice.
Yeah. So I had the Canadian government ran a internship program. And so they would go for the summer because you have a long time, you have 4 months off in Canada in the summer for your, between your next uni year.
Wow. How How nice is that?
Yeah. So you, in the beginning of May, so they start the recruitment in April, and they would hire interns for all the different cadetships for all the different government departments. So I got one with the Department of Justice. And I think that was really enabled me to leverage my education and quickly into a career post, because I had 3 years of solid working, real life work experience to accompany my degree at the end of the day. So
yeah, fantastic. That's probably the number one piece of advice you would give to students and graduates wanting to start a career in technology. Is there anything else, any other insights that you want to share, any certain pathways? You know, obviously we're seeing a lot more different types of roles being created now than probably when, you know, we went to university. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
When you think about talking to a lot of girls and saying, do you want to get into tech? And I think they think of it as it's a developer's field only. So I have to be a computer engineer in order to get into that field. But I think the breadth of roles they have currently are really suited, equally suited to women and equally suited to men. And it's about understanding technology. And our kids are technical literate. They're coming out of school completely technical literate, far, far exceeding what we were when we were coming out. So having that technical literacy, having a set of soft skills and hard skills is applicable in all these different roles. When you think about scrum masters and product owners and lean coaches, it's people who understand technology, but they understand the psychology of people also, and they're able to apply that to get the best outcomes.
Yeah, good. And I think, you know, your sort of field of data is really key as well, because if, you know, sort of companies are wanting to grow and have a competitive advantage in the market, then, you know, they need data and analytics and insights into how their customers think and, you know, consume their products, or services. So that's a real large area of growth that I see, especially in Newcastle.
Yeah, and the advent of AI and ML and what's happening in AWS and Azure and the technology platforms that are coming out is really, it's conducive to a breadth of experience and a large background.
So I wanted to talk about Newcastle Permanent Building Society and currently the plans that are underway. So can you tell us about you growing a team locally in Newcastle to deliver upon the strategic roadmap that's currently underway? And what you and the team have achieved so far.
So really exciting. So last year, we partnered with an external consultant company to help us develop our strategic roadmap. So this was one team, one roadmap, one vision. So it was really uniting the organization as a whole under a set of initiatives that would really turn the dial from a technology, from a customer point of view, and from our people point of view. So really looking at it holistically, not just saying, I'm going to do this project. It's saying, actually, across the organization, what are the initiatives we need to do to really get there?
So there's a number of streams that you're working.
Yes, we have five streams, and they focus on customer experience, customer growth, people and culture, risk and compliance, and productivity. And we realize that a lot of the initiatives in there are tactical for us.
Yep.
We need to do these to really set a strong foundation. And through that process was learning around our strategic planning is iterative, and we're always growing and evolving it and moving it forward. So being having change agility and developing a flywheel for change across the organization is one of the key benefits of really focusing our energies on that.
So you're implementing Agile across the organization, or is it just within the technology and transfer?
So we've got Agile ways of working running in different departments. I wouldn't say it's not an Agile methodology, but it's about how do you use a set of tools? How do you maybe change how you interact with each other and meet and talk and find change and introduce change. And that's what the Agile Ways of Working program is up and running. And that's being run out of the transformation office also. So some of the things we've been able to achieve so far. So during COVID, we were able to launch a digital verification of identity. So what that means is instead of customers having to go into the branch to get verified, to do a lending, to sign up for a loan, they no longer need to. We can do that virtually with interviews right from their home using online video conferencing. To be able to do that. So that was something we've been able to do really quickly and it was really timely. So it was on the roadmap prior to the pandemic hitting, but it was something we were able to move on quite quickly and bring forward to be able to make sure that we could still lend and get home loans at the door for our customers, even during the time that we were facing.
I know my partner's just taken a home loan with Newcastle Permanent just recently.
Did you do the fixed rate or the variable?
Do you know? I don't know. Well, I don't ask him about his finances.
We launched a great fixed rate last week, five year fixed rate at 1.99. So like crazy low.
Yeah, I think he did it through a girlfriend of mine who's a broker, and she did an amazing job for him. And her preference is always to use Newcastle Perm.
To hear that. We get some really good feedback from our brokers.
Yeah.
Also, we've got a lot of great initiatives coming up next year, so keep a close eye on us. Some work happening on our app, some work happening in our digital space. So just really excited to be able to tell that story and deliver some change for our customers. So I know that our customers are really passionate about Newcastle Permanent and giving them a great technology platform to support their passion.
So there'll be a fair few new digital products that are developed as part of that strategic roadmap.
More our delivery channels.
Okay.
Yeah.
Delivery channels. Okay.
So we have the delivery staff that focus on delivering the initiatives. We've got the five streams, and we've got the change. So change management is something that we're really passionate about and maturing and embedding change across the organization. So the change management team's a new thing within our area that is learning and maturing and growing as we go through this program.
Yeah, good. And what have some of the challenges that you've had to you faced sort of hiring and ramping up that transformation team?
Some of the challenges is, the biggest one was COVID. So we finished the strategic roadmap and presented it to the board in March. Literally the Monday following that presentation, COVID hit. And so it was about moving quickly to a remote working environment and keeping everybody aligned and getting everybody excited and using new tools and new processes and trying to introduce all new things quickly whilst the organization and the world is going through a major crisis is challenging, is really challenging.
Such a strange time.
It was for everybody. And I think, I don't know, they say there's moments in your life. I think one of them is, where were you when Princess Diana died? That's one. Everybody remembers where they were. And I think everybody will remember where were you when you got the announcement about COVID and your life just got flipped upside down.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, something that I don't want to experience again, that's for sure.
No.
But I think those times also force you to really think about what's important to you and
create sort of focus.
Life. Yep, create focus and, you know, sort of, am I working in the right environment? Is this the job that I want? Or, you know, is this the life that I want? You know, forces people into lots of reflection, I think, which can be really a positive thing.
I think the focus and reflection was an important one for us as an organization because we were all committed to achieving one thing at that point in time. And the way that all the departments pulled together to get everybody at home, to get the technology up and running, and the turnaround time they were able to achieve as one team and really making that happen was really powerful for us.
Yeah, great. And Newcastle Perm's already always had, you know, sort of a solid commitment to the community as well. Can you talk to us about some of those initiatives?
So I had the joy of participating in one recently. So as one of the strategic roadmap initiatives was about people's wellness across the organization. So they partnered with an organization called Waves of Wellness.
Okay.
So, and they're a company that runs surfing programs. And so
that's cool.
The surfing programs are not just about learning how to surf, but also about mental health and strong mental health. So we got a day where we got to go to the beach with them, and we have a circle where we all check in, and then we got a surf lesson. So the charitable foundation donated a van for them so they can now be more mobile around, as well as there's quite a few surfers that were on the organization that participate as surf mentors with the Waves of Wellness program.
Oh, wow.
So that's just one example. And they're a true partner for us. They post things about mental health and wellness on our intranet for us to leverage and speaking at team meetings and really getting engaged. So I think that's a really good example of a charitable partnership.
Yeah, cool.
We're also launching our summer campaign program. You'll see some new colors for Newcastle Permanent. We've got a new TV spots and a new commercial campaign coming out. Mm-hmm. So it's really exciting. And we're all being really encouraged to get out there and give back to the community. So we get 2 charitable days per year. And we've got all new t-shirts to wear, which with really great colors. And we're being encouraged between now and Christmas to take one of those days as a team and get out there in our new colors and show that Newcastle Permanent is really giving back to the community.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So have you decided what you're going to be doing as a team yet?
Yeah, so we did ours today and we're doing Oz Harvest.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So yeah, our team is going, it's early December. I can't remember the date, but yeah, they've organized it all. And yeah, we're really excited about it.
Yeah, very good. And when you think about hiring for your team, because I know you've had to do a lot of hiring in the last, you know, probably the last 12 months, especially for this transformation, what types of attributes and, you know, sort of personality traits are you looking for?
My number one is I'm really passionate about curiosity. So I think nobody has all the answers and nobody knows how everything works anywhere.
No.
And we're all presented with tricky problems every single day. And it's being curious to know what's out there, what can I use, how can I use it, how can I leverage information from someone else. And I think curiosity is really important. And through life, being a lifelong learner and being curious about the world that you live in and the world that you work in and the company you work for. So curiosity is really important for me. Problem solving, it's cliche, but you can't say enough about people who bring you solutions, not problems. So I think problem solving is really great.
Yeah.
Attribute and critical thinking. Mm. And also people who think work is fulfilling. So I know when work can get you down at times and it's difficult. And sometimes it has its highs and its low, but I could never give up working. It's part of who I am and it's really fulfilling to me. And we'd like to think that when people are going for roles, it's because it's not just a job. It's something that I feel passionate about.
Inspire them and keep them engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. What is the plan looking like? Is it a 3-year transformation?
So it's a 3-year strategic roadmap.
Yeah.
So we're delivering a 3-year strategic roadmap, but we're always reviewing it. So we're in our next strategic planning cycle now. So we always need to stay current. So the decisions we made last year might not be the right decisions now. And I think great organizations are constantly reviewing what do I need to do for my people and my customers and how am I going to get there?
Yeah, fantastic. Well, it's an exciting time for you guys. Do you listen to any podcasts?
I do.
Which one?
So I'm a big fan of Business Wars. So they do an expose or research piece into 2 businesses. So traditional, like everybody knows it, Blockbuster versus Netflix, that story. My favorite was Hasbro versus Mattel. So it goes all the way back to the history of like toy creation and how these 2 companies were against each other throughout the world. And what I love about it is we think that business is this machine that operates in this sphere that we don't understand. So you think about there are these huge businesses.
Yeah.
And you think
fighting
for market share and fighting all over the place. And you boil it down and it's 2 CEOs that are just going at it.
Yeah.
And decided they didn't like each other. So they decided to, I think it's really interesting to see the history of a lot of these businesses and where they've come from. Obviously a lot of them are American because a lot of our business world was capitalism. Grew up there. So that's where a lot of it comes in.
Massive corporations over there.
Yeah. So there's tons of content. So like Road Trip, my husband and I, number one, Business Wars goes on.
Does it really?
Churn.
I'm going to have to listen to that one.
It's really good. Listening to The Dropout, it's a podcast. Yeah. So it's a true American bad corporate culture and whistleblower one-on-one. So
it sounds really interesting.
Yes. So the villain in it is Elizabeth Holmes. So she's...
What does she do?
She was a dropout biochemical engineer. So she did 2 courses. She sold a professor on an idea that they could do pinprick blood tests.
I'm reading that book at the moment. My girlfriend bought it
for
me.
Are you?
Yeah. It's fantastic.
So she pinpricks, they put it into the machine. It's called the Edison. And they claim they could do about 200 blood tests on it. So gone are the days of the injection and the kids crying and all of the pints of the vials of blood that they had solved it all.
And the test can come back quite quickly as well.
Quickly, right away.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And she was a total fraud.
Total fraud.
Yeah. And she just chewed and burned through people and
billions of dollars.
And wiped off
the share market.
Yeah. And if someone didn't, you know, agree with her point of view or started to see the cracks in her strategy, she would just wipe them out.
She's savage. So if you think about, I listened to the podcast when I was driving back from Byron Bay after my company director's course, and I went, wow.
Yeah.
How does that happen? How does that happen in an organization?
Imagine living in her head. Like, imagine being in her head.
Yep. But the people in this machine, so the people would come to, like, you would recruit for them and then you would say they're a fantastic organization and all these people would be excited. It's tech, Silicon Valley, good pay, great role. And they're sitting there and they're trying to do their job and make a mark for themselves and do a great job. And it's just,
she ruined quite a few lives as well. Like some really senior scientists and people anyone that dared challenge cross her and try and stop her from, you know, wasting billions and billions of dollars.
Yeah.
She just,
So it's totally
annihilated them.
Totally annihilated them. So on one hand, I respect her greatly because, wow, that's really impressive. On the other hand, I'm like, that's just so wrong.
Yeah, it's a bit nasty.
But I love a good bad story. Yeah. So that's why
I love it too. I love a bit of a thriller or a crime documentary.
Yes, The Dirty John.
Oh my God, they're so good. I know. I was actually, I haven't fully got into the second season of that yet, but my sister was up till 4 in the morning watching it because she just couldn't look away.
Okay. Although the Netflix, because they had the podcast, then you can watch the Netflix.
Yeah,
you could just,
that's right.
You can get as much of it as you want. And what's the Australian one? There was an Australian version of that. So he was like the Australian Dirty John and they had a podcast of it.
So the movie was like the Australian version, you mean?
No, Dirty John had a podcast. So Dirty John was American, right? Yeah. And then they had the Netflix special. But there's an Australian version of Dirty John.
I'm sure there's a lot of Australian version of Dirty John.
Unfortunately. On the more intelligent side, Freakonomics and 99% Invisible and Hidden Brain. So I think I really like them.
I've read Freakonomics.
Yeah. So that's obviously behavioral economics. So they're always doing a different topic, and Hidden Brain's about psychology, and 99% Invisible is just really cool. Cool stuff, and they kind of unpack it all and take those problems that you're thinking about and going, oh, this is how it works and this is how it all fits together. So, yeah. And one that is a Newcastle Permanent here that we're passionate about and we're sponsoring is called Music Saved My Life. So it's a podcast about the importance of music and growth and mental health. And
what about mentors and business leaders that inspire you that you've worked with during your career that you still stay in touch with and, you know, run things past? Is there anyone that you particularly?
Bruce White, obviously. Bruce hired me at Newcastle Permanent.
Yeah.
We had a great relationship. So, I still check in with him.
Good.
For all my big problems when I need some advice on what to do and what choices to make. And so he's been a great support to me in my career.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's always a family influence. So my mom is career was always really important to her, and she's got great grounded advice. And so I leverage her a lot for a lot of those frustrating moments.
Yeah.
When you don't know what to do or how to see through it all. She's very good to help.
Yeah. I talked to my mom a fair bit about that too. Yeah. Frustrations. Yeah.
Take a more outside in approach and look to it all.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, who knows you better than your mom?
Yes, exactly. So yeah, I don't have a ton of them, but I have the handful that I have are important and help me in different ways.
Yeah, good. So where can people find you? So if you were to, you know, I know that you're on LinkedIn.
Probably LinkedIn. Or on Instagram if you want to see my travel photos and stuff.
So you work Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, LinkedIn's the best place to get a hold of me. And yeah, I'd love to keep in touch with what goes on in the NUI tech community.
Yeah. So also Hunter Data and Analytics Meetup. You know, you're quite often at those events or.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like they're going to be starting up more face-to-face soon in 2021, which is great.
And you will see us around, see me around as we volunteer in our new colors for Newcastle Permanent.
Ooh, exciting. So
that's really exciting, I think.
Yeah. Well, I really enjoyed our chat today. It was very interesting to hear about your journey and your career today and what you like to do outside of work. So thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. Do we get to go for a drink now?
Yes, let's go.
Thank you, Linda.
You can cue that in.
Thank you for joining us on the NUI Tech People podcast. To view all videos and audio, please log on to our website, nuitechpeople.com.au, or follow us on our social accounts at Instagram, YouTube, Facebook and LinkedIn. Thank you.